to the Fitbox Podcast. This is your host, Joseph Frankie. Glad you're here listening. On our podcast, we talk about two main things. First and foremost, we interview members of Fitbox, so that way you can hear their stories about how they're repaying debt, how they're saving for retirement, buying homes, all this type of stuff, really to give you motivation and some different ideas. That's the first thing we talk about. The second thing our podcast do is we take individual finance topics and go through them in more detail, so that way you can say, does this apply to me and how does this apply to my plan? So if you have questions or you want to sign up for Fitbox, you can do so in the show notes, fitbox.com. Build your profile, schedule a call. We'll be talking to you soon. Enjoy the episode.
This is this weekly financial update. This one's coming from real estate, that all these big headlines that the way Americans buy and sell homes is about to get turned on its head. That's from CNN. What's going on, right? I don't know if you guys have seen these headlines, but what does it mean to all you future home buyers out there? That's what we're going to go through this weekly financial update. We're also going to be talking a little bit about student loans too. But the big news is with that real estate information, because that's what I've been getting DM'd on all week this week from potential home buyers. So that's what we're going to be talking about. If you always watch our weekly financial updates, either on YouTube or on our podcast, welcome. We greatly appreciate you. Be sure to share this with all your friends. If you're new, make sure that you subscribe to the channel. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe, hit that notification bell, hit the like button. If you're listening on the podcast, be sure to subscribe so that way you get the weekly financial updates. You also get notified when we come out with other specific types of things like IDR, getting help on IDR, different stories that we show, so on and so forth. It helps us grow. It helps you with your finances. That's what we're all about. Let's jump into it. Okay, what's the big news with real estate? The NAR, if you don't know that, that is National Association of Realtors, one of the biggest lobbying groups in the country, one of the biggest associations. They're huge, okay? Basically, they settled an antitrust case for $418 million last Friday. It had to do a lot with the way commissions were structured and like paperwork and all this type of stuff. And so all these headlines are running out there. It's going to be cheaper to buy a house. This is a major win, blah, 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 blah. And so some of you have been like, is this going to take place like tomorrow? First of all, no, it's not going to take place tomorrow. Okay. Second of all, will it take place, right? When you read through a lot of these articles, they base a lot of what they're saying on ifs and maybes. There's no concrete proof that this is going to change anything. But why do they say that? Okay. When you buy a house right now, basically, traditionally, on average, it's about a 6% commission. Okay. Now, you don't see that as the buyer because the seller is the one that pays for it. So if I sell my house for 400 grand, right, I have to pay $24,000 in commission. That typically is split. 12,000 in my example goes to the seller, 12,000 goes to the buyer. The buyer's agent, I should say. Okay. That's traditionally how it's set up. That's the way it's been for a long time. It's a lot of money. And I have my opinion on that. I'll share that later on. Okay. To give you some framework, most other countries are between 1% and 2%. Again, we're at 6%. Other countries are at 1% or 2%. Okay. Now, I've been saying that this is going to change for a very, very long time. And when I've been saying that since like 06, 07. And every time I tell like a real estate agent friend that I know of that, basically their response is, well, the NAR is too powerful. Right, there's too much money in this. Well, you got technology, you got this lawsuit, you got AI, a lot of things might change. So what do I see going forward, you know, in the future going forward, okay? If it changes, I think that you will see some type of flat fee structure potentially, okay? For quote-unquote normal houses, okay? What this basically means is like instead of saying, hey, like, we spend 6% of the purchase price. It's like, look, we'll do this for $3,000. That's what you have to pay. Okay, $4,000 per house, whatever it may be. The reason why I say that is because for normal houses, I'm not talking about like million-dollar houses or houses that are in rural areas. Those are like specialty types of houses that you have to have certain buyers, and I think brokers are really needed for those. But for everyday houses, like, you know, where I live out here in Texas, it's a tract of houses. They're all basically the same. You can easily get an appraisal and a value of a house and so on and so forth. Like, there's no reason why, like, the house in this neighborhood that's 6% should be paying 6% in a house in another neighborhood. It's basically the same process, same amount of time that somebody, that an agent puts into it. But on this house, they might make $10,000. On this house, they make $25,000. It's the same thing. It just doesn't make any sense. So I think that there may be some type of flat fee type of structure to get introduced for a quote-unquote normal house. Not only that, but buyers may have to pay their own agents now. Okay, and I'm not going to go into the details of why that is, but that is a big change from now. Now, I said that buyers, they don't directly pay this commission. They indirectly pay it through a higher sales price, okay, which, again, costs them a lot of money because it's getting financed. But this would change it to where, again, the buyer might have to pay their agent out of pocket. Now, why is this such a big deal? Because a lot of people can't pay that much money out of their pocket to a broker. So that might force some of the commissions down, but also it might also throw out a lot of people out of the market. Who? First-time home buyers, which is our audience, right? You guys, 20 to 40-year-olds. Like, you don't have enough money for a down payment, let alone money to go to a real estate agent. So that might have an effect on the real estate industry, okay? Brokers, obviously, are not going to be making that much money. They're probably going to quit. And so that's going to leave, like, okay brokers and really good ones. And what you're going to see is that the really good brokers, they're only going to help, like, really high-end individuals that they know they'll get those fees. Like, why would they help anybody else? Like, think about this, right? Like, let's just say you're selling a $300,000 house and you're getting 1%. Like, that's $3,000. And it might take you 2, 3, 4 months to sell this. You got to deal with all the headaches of the buyers and stuff. Like, you'd say, nah, screw that, if you're really good, right? So I see it actually potentially, in the short run, potentially getting worse for buyers and sellers in the real estate market. What that will do to pricing, I don't know. But it might be a little bit more cumbersome to buy a house in the short run, okay? Now, what do I think is actually going to happen, and what does this potentially open up the doors to do, okay? As I said, been saying for years to my real estate friends, shit's going to change, okay? And I'll give you an example. Like, when you buy a car, you don't need a broker to help you, okay? Well, now, like, when I give that example to real estate agents, they're like, oh, well, you know, the real estate industry, real estate's more legally complex. It's like, you're right. It's more legally complex. Legally. I need a lawyer, not a broker. And so I've done, and I know people with that do transactions, they don't ever have an agent. They go and look at houses themselves, and they have their own lawyer that looks at the purchase or selling paper agreement, and they pay a lawyer to do it. So I can see lawyers becoming more prominent in the real estate industry. And, you know, like I said, I actually see like a company or a technology emerging for the quote unquote everyday people, because most home like agreements that are just buying and selling like typical homes, they're not that different. And so I could see like a company and a technology being launched where they offer like a flat rate for the legal work. They provide a comprehensive checklist that every buyer needs to do. So like inspections and all that type of stuff that needs to go through. And then mortgage help, because that's the big one, in my opinion, is having a mortgage broker that you work with, because they could potentially help you get a lower cost on the mortgage, which when you look at the cost of a house, the cost of a mortgage is the thing that's the big thing. And so I could see that really working in this agreement and everything, really funneling into a company that feeds into that. Now, on the seller side, they might say something like, well, you need an agent to be able to price it. Before I started FitBucks, I actually created a technology that would value real estate. Like, because there's so much data all over the place where you don't even need an appraiser. We call it in the finance world, in like valuation and stuff that I used to do, we used to call them desktop appraisals. Okay. We could do that. And in fact, that was when I built that, that was probably 12 years ago, 11 years ago. I'm sure that they're out there now already. I just haven't looked into that market because I was like, I'm not going to build this. right? But it's not that hard for us to come up with a valuation of a property. And so if you're trying to figure out as a seller, hey, what realistically can I get? What should I set the price at to begin with? The data's there. It's very easy to click a button and have a technology tell you what that is. So what I think is going to happen in the immediate term, I think there might be some confusion and some things happening, just some fluctuations maybe in the market. I don't see it really being that impactful in the short run. In the long run, I think it will have an impact. I think buying a home will get cheaper. And it's because, not necessarily because we're keeping the status quo on what we're doing now with buyer agents and seller agents. I think it's going to get to the point where you have so many agents leaving the market that you actually have technologies and companies that come in and replace that. It can be some type of combination with legal lawyers and that type of stuff, checklist, technology. I just think the way that we do buy and sell houses will get cheaper, and it's due because of technology. And this is the dam that's breaking to help that technology be ushered forward. Whereas when this dam was there, people would try to do things and they were getting blocked by the NAR. That block, even though it's still there, might be a little bit loosened up going forward. Okay. So good news for future home buyers, I hope, down the road. Near term, probably not going to change too much. Next topic, student loans. What's really big there? Pay as you earn is going away on July 1st. If you're not grandfathered in and in repayment, you will not be able to go on it. Who is this affecting the most? Those that first borrowed loans between 2007 and 2014, because your only other option that would be okay at that point would be save, even though pay as you earn might be better. You won't be able to go on it anymore unless a different president comes in and gets rid of save completely and reverts back to pay as you earn. Who knows? Don't want to live in the world of what ifs. But as of July, you can't go on to pay as you earn anymore. And for most graduate students we see and talk to here at FitBucks, they would be better off staying on pay as you earn. So if you haven't looked into that, you probably want to. Those that don't have to worry are those that first borrowed after 2014, because you can go on to what's called new IBR. Again, if you borrow between 2007 and 2014, you can't go on to new IBR. So you have to make a decision like now. Okay. Stock market news, not really much going on there. Keep dollar cost averaging in the retirement accounts, because again, the market keeps going up. So, you know, like 2 years ago when we started these weekly financial updates, it showed, you know, going down in the market, and now it's going back up. Again, it's why dollar cost averaging works. Keep doing it. If we get any more news in the stock market, we'll definitely be hitting that up. Thanks again for joining us for the weekly update. As I said, hit that subscribe button so you're notified for more. We'll talk to you guys soon.